Well, let's go ahead and start our time in the Word of God tonight. Let's turn over to Proverbs. We're doing character studies in the book of Proverbs. Tonight's message is from Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6. I won't ask you to guess what the character is. It's too many characters in Proverbs to do that. But Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6. Tonight we're going to be looking at the character, the faithful man in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. I'll give you just a minute to find your place there. But needless to say, the faithful man is a good character trait. It's what we all ought to strive to be, a faithful person. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, it says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" But a faithful man who can find? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you and serving you. Thank you for all of your many blessings. We pray that you'll bless the parade tomorrow. Use it for your honor and glory. We pray that you'll use our church as a lighthouse for you. In Jesus' name, amen. The word faithful there in your King James Bible is translated from a Hebrew word, and that Hebrew word is amun. Let's say that together. Amun. That's a Hebrew word that literally means trustworthy. The original meaning of the English word faithful, what do you think it meant? Just look at the word. Faithful. Full of faith. And it was originally used to describe the life and conduct of Christians who walked like Christians ought to walk, whose lives were marked by faith and obedience to God. In the 14th century, the word began to be used to describe people who were trustworthy and dependable. In the book of Proverbs, we're going to look at a man called the faithful man. Do you think he's a wise man or a foolish man? Wise man. And what do you think his opposite is? The faithful man is a wise man. What do you think the unwise man is? The unfaithful man. He's a type of a foolish person, an unfaithful man. Look at verse number 6. It says that most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. So if you could divide all people into two groups, you put most of them over there, and that's the unfaithful group. And over here, in this side, would be a small group that's hard to find. And the name of this group is the faithful man. It says, a faithful man who can find. That means he's a rare individual. There's not nearly as many faithful men as there are unfaithful men. Ever heard the old adage, I can trust him about as far as I can throw him? Anybody ever heard that before? That means that when a person is out of your sight, you can't depend upon them to do the right thing. The truth of the matter is that most men are like that. You can trust them as long as you're watching them and supervising them closely, but when they're out of your sight, then there's a pretty good chance they won't do what they ought to do. There's a lot of people in church, like the fella in verse number 6, who proclaim their own goodness. People like to talk about how spiritual they are. They like to brag about how much they love the Lord, and they like to show off how much they do for the church, when actually they don't do nearly as much as they show. I heard of a lady one time who used to brag that she was the church cleaner, but she never cleaned the church. And the truth of the matter is, most people are like that. They brag about their goodness and what they do, when actually it's just a big show that they're making. The Pharisees were like that in the Bible. They liked to show off what they really didn't have on their insides. When the Pharisees gave their offerings, they made a big show because they wanted people to think that they were something very spiritual and godly, when truthfully their hearts were far from God. Isn't that something? They made a big show of how much they gave in the offering, but their hearts were very far from God. Here's what Jesus said about them. "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." The Pharisees like to pray in public, and they like people to see them pray, but they didn't do much praying in private. They didn't really have a close relationship with God. I want to look tonight at a faithful man and some characteristics of a faithful man. Notice in verse number 6, it says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" A faithful man is honest about who he really is. He's not faking it, and he's not putting on a show to make you think that he's something that he isn't. A faithful man is honest about who he is. He's not pretending to be somebody he isn't. He's the real thing. There's nothing fake about a faithful man. He's not bragging about what he does and who he is. He's a man that is real and genuine, not just putting on a show. Also, a faithful man will do right even when he isn't watched. Even when he isn't watched. Faithful man isn't concerned about what people see. Who is he concerned about? He's concerned about what God sees. And there's a lot of people who will work hard when the boss walks into the room. He'll walk in the room and they'll jump out of their chair and start moving around. But when he sees the boss going way down the hallway, he gets back to standing around chit-chatting or sitting down and sleeping or whatever. And there's a lot of people who slack off and chat with their friends at work when they're not being watched. A faithful man can be depended upon and given responsibilities. I want to show you an example of a faithful man in the Bible in Numbers chapter 12, verse number 7. Numbers chapter 12, verse number 7. It says, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." Who is faithful in all mine house. Moses was a man who could be given responsibilities by God. God trusted him with managing his people. God trusted Moses with managing his people. And Moses didn't disappoint God. God said that Moses was faithful in all his house. Everything God had asked Moses to do, he did it. He did God's will in his dealings with the Israelites. And God said that he was faithful in all his house. If someone is faithful, you can trust them with something and they won't disappoint you. They won't disappoint you. We have an example in Matthew. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read these verses about a man who was entrusted with some things by his Lord. In Matthew chapter 25, verse number 15, Matthew 25, verse 15, we find a man being given some things to watch over by his boss, by his Lord. It says, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." So this man had some servants, and he gave them some stuff to watch over. Here, watch over this. Here's 5 talents. Take really good care of them, and I'll be back to see how you did. And while the man was gone, the Bible says that the servant went out and traded with those talents, and he got more talents for his Lord. He started out with 5, and he worked to get more, and he ended up with 10. What did the Lord say to that servant when he came back? What did he call him? He called him a good and a faithful servant. He was someone who had been trusted with something, and he didn't let his Lord down. Compare that with the man in Proverbs 25:19. Let's all turn over there since we're in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 19. Here's a man who was, you trust him with a job, and you can be 90% sure he won't do the job. It says, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." You go to bite down on a piece of steak, and you expect your tooth to be there to bite into that steak for you, but the tooth is broken and it fails you. Instead of biting into the steak, it falls out and your mouth hurts. That's what happens if you trust in a tooth that is broken. What about if you go to step on your foot, but your foot is out of joint? You trust that your foot is going to hold you up when you put it down on the ground and take a step, but your foot doesn't. That's kind of what it's like to trust an unfaithful man to do a job. Let's say that we were having a church picnic and you trusted an unfaithful man to bring the chips. And what if he didn't bring the chips? You wouldn't have the chips to eat. That he would let you down. What about if you trust him to bring, you know, the hot dogs? He doesn't even show up. Where's the hot dogs? Where's the food? Well, that unfaithful man failed us and let us down. If you give an unfaithful man a job, then he's probably going to disappoint you. A faithful man can be trusted with work. You don't have to stand there and babysit a faithful man. When you give him a job to do, you can trust that he's going to get it done. Proverbs 25, let's look at verse 13. Proverbs 25, verse 13. It says, "As the cold of snow in a time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters." He refresheth the soul of his masters. When you trust a faithful man to do a job, you can be sure he's going to do it. And it's refreshing because the job will get done. Let's say Levi. You know, I trust Levi to feed the dog. Well, I come home and I see the dog fed and watered. And it's refreshing to see people faithfully doing what they're supposed to do. You can trust a faithful man with work. You don't have to stand there and babysit him and tell him, "Get up and get busy. You got to get your job done." No, a faithful man, you tell him what you want done, and you could go away for a week and come back, and that job will be done. But a person who won't do their job unless you're standing there telling them every step, that's an unfaithful person. An unfaithful person, you tell them to make their bed, and you come back 20 minutes later, the bed still isn't made. They're rolling around on the floor. You tell them to get up and work on their bed, and you come back an hour later, they're playing toys in the floor. The bed still isn't made. That's unfaithful. That's foolish. That's bad. A faithful man will can be trusted with work. You give him some work, you tell him what you want done, and he's going to do it, and you can depend on the faithful man. Not only can a faithful man be trusted with work, but a faithful man can also be trusted with words. Can be trusted with words. Look at Proverbs 11:13. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. It says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." What happens if you give an unfaithful man some confidential information? Well, you can't trust that he's going to keep it quiet, can you? He's going to spread it all over town. He's going to be gossiping and telling all this secret information, and lots of people are going to find out about things that you didn't want them to find out. So a faithful man can be trusted with words. You can trust that his mouth is going to do the right thing. It's going to be trustworthy. He's going to keep secret information secret. He's not going to let the cat out of the bag. But the unfaithful man, he just blabs around and tells everything. He's not discreet, and he tells things he shouldn't tell. Also, look in Proverbs 14, verse 5. A faithful man not only can he be trusted with work, not only can he be trusted with words, but thirdly, he can be trusted as a witness. He can be trusted as a witness. Look in Proverbs 14:5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. When you've got someone who's a faithful witness, they're not going to exaggerate. They're not going to bend the truth. They're not going to sugarcoat it. You can be sure that they're going to give you the facts just as they are. They're going to tell you exactly what they saw. They're not going to bend it the way they want it to go. They're going to tell the truth. And a faithful witness will not lie. He's going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But what will the false witness do? He's going to utter lies. He's going to tell you things that aren't true. He's going to see one thing and tell you another. And you can be sure the facts will not be straight. There was a man in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 2, who had, the Bible says that he was a faithful witness. I'll read the verse to you. Isaiah 8:2 says, "And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah." So here, Isaiah wanted something recorded factually and truthfully. He didn't give a job to a liar. He didn't give a job to a sluggard. He gave it to a couple of faithful men because the words needed to be recorded exactly right. Now, how do you test for faithfulness? How do you know if somebody is going to do a good job at something big and important? Well, turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Here's a Bible test to see if somebody is going to be trustworthy on something big and important. Luke chapter 16, verse number 10. It says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." How do you know how trustworthy somebody is? Well, you watch them in the little things. And if they're honest in the little things, if they're completely honest and upright, in the little areas, and they're going to be honest in the big things. You can trust them. But if you see them cheating and cutting corners and doing things they shouldn't do in the little things, you can be sure that they're going to fail you in the big things. If you see someone who cheats a little in school, then you can be sure that that person would cheat in a big opportunity if he had the chance. If you see someone who's not doing a good job as a janitor, you can be sure they wouldn't do a good job as a president. You can be sure of that. If you see someone who will not tithe or serve the Lord at church when they're making minimum wage, you can be sure that they wouldn't serve the Lord and tithe if they were making $1 million a year, because if they're unjust in the least, if they're unfaithful in the least, they'll be unfaithful in much. If a person is not serving the Lord and doing a good job as a single person, then they would also do a bad job if they were in a position as a spouse or a parent. Because the Bible says if you're faithful in the least, you'll be faithful in much. And if you're unfaithful in the least, you'll be unfaithful in much. Now, why should a person be faithful? It kind of crimps your style, doesn't it? It crimps some people's style. To be honest all the time, to never cheat, to always tell the truth, even if it doesn't make you look as good. Why be faithful? Your mom gives you a job to do, and you always get it done when she only has to tell you once. What good is that? Is there any reward for being faithful? Yes. I want to show you. Let's look at Proverbs 28, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. It says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings." A faithful man shall abound with blessings. What does it mean to abound with something? Does that mean to have a little or a lot? A lot. If I said that you were abounding in gold, would that mean you had a little bit of gold or a lot of gold? A lot. Well, the Bible says that the faithful man shall abound with blessings. It doesn't say he might have a few blessings. It doesn't say that things might go well for him. It says he shall abound with blessings. That's as good as a promise from God. When the Bible says he shall abound with blessings, you can be sure that you'll have a good, blessed life. God will be putting good things in your life all the time if you're a faithful man. But if you're a rebellious man, what kind of a land does the Bible say the rebellious dwell in? A dry land. That's a land that's void of blessings, and you'll miss out on a lot of good things from the Lord unless you're a faithful man. What did the Lord say he would do for the king who faithfully judges the poor? Well, look one chapter over in Proverbs 29:14. It says, "The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever." That's quite a blessing, isn't it? To have your throne established forever? Well, be faithful in your judging of the poor if you're in a leadership position, and God will bless you richly. And then, what did the Lord do in that parable in Matthew 25 to the faithful man who had 5 talents, he traded them, and he ended up with 10? Well, the Lord promoted him, didn't he? He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." If you're faithful in the little things, the Lord will promote you to bigger things. Faithfulness is nothing more than doing a good job with what you have. Doing the right thing where you are right now. If you won't do the right thing where you are right now, then God can't trust you to do the right thing with more responsibility and more money and more influence. You need to be faithful right now. How should we do anything we do as a Christian? We should do our best, shouldn't we? We should do it heartily as to the Lord. If you're a Sunday school teacher, how should you do your job as a Sunday school teacher? Faithfully. You should do it faithfully. Do your best. Put your heart into it. Pray and seek God and study and serve and do your very, very best. If you're the janitor of the church, how should you do it? You should make the place shine. You should put your heart into it. Don't brag and tell me you're cleaning the church when you don't even clean it. That's unfaithful. But if you're going to, if that's your job, you do your best and make the place shine, make it glisten, make sure the floor is nice and clean, and do your best. If you're the church pianist, you play and practice those songs, you pray over those songs, and ask the Lord to help you to honor Him, and you put your heart into it, and you make sure you're ready. When the song leader comes in, you hand him a card that's got the songs that you've practiced or whatever, and make sure you're ready. When I was a Cleveland Baptist, I was a bus captain there for years, and I looked at that as you know, my position that God had trusted me with. I looked at it as my stewardship. And I made sure it wasn't, you know, that was my pulpit to preach from. I would spend hours praying and preparing sermons to preach to the people in a bus. I looked at it as my job from God. I would put hours in prayer and preparation to preach to those bus kids. I would go out every Saturday and sometimes a couple other evenings a week to invite people to church and build the bus route. Why was I doing that? Because I wanted to be found faithful in my job. I wanted to do my best in the job that God had given me. We need to be faithful. There's rewards for that. If the Lord finds you faithfully serving Him, He will bless you in this life, and He will reward you in heaven for doing a good job, doing your best, being trustworthy and faithful. Not only doing a good job when somebody's watching you, but doing it all the time because you know God is watching you. Now, we talked about being faithful. God's people can be faithful, but we all know that every human being is going to fail. Yeah, at one point or another. When God looks at a Christian, He looks at us as positionally perfect because of the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. But we're not free from mistakes and failures. There never has been a Christian that didn't make a mistake, and there never will be. Even Moses made some mistakes in his life. Yet, despite our failures and flaws, we can still be counted as faithful. The Bible lists a number of men who were just ordinary men made out of the same stuff that we are. They weren't perfect, but yet the Bible numbered them as faithful. Moses was called a faithful man in Numbers 12:7. The Bible says, "My servant Moses is not so who is faithful in all my house." Hanani and Hananiah were called faithful men in Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2. And then many others were called faithful men in the Bible. Now the Bible also mentions some people that it calls unfaithful men. The Bible lists men that are called faithful by God, But it also lists some men that God said they were unfaithful men. Eli was called an unfaithful priest in the book of 1 Samuel. Why was he called an unfaithful man? Because he did not keep his sons in line and keep his ministry above reproach. God said that he was displeased with Eli and that he was going to judge his house forever, and he would raise up a faithful priest in 1 Samuel 2:35. The first king of Israel, did God consider him to be a faithful man or an unfaithful man? Unfaithful man. King Saul, God said that he was an unfaithful man. And then the man in Matthew 25:6 who was given one talent. He was given one talent. He was given one thing to use for God, for his Lord. But did he use it for his Lord? No, he didn't do anything with it. And the Lord said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed." So, despite our flaws and failures, we can be like a Moses. We can be like Hananiah. We can be like these men that were called faithful. If we walk with the Lord, and if we'll do our best to serve Him, and if we'll be trustworthy and do right even when it seems like we could get by with doing wrong. When we take the Lord's work seriously and do our best. Now, if we wanted to find someone as a role model for faithfulness to show us how to be faithful, who would we look to? Moses. He was pretty good, but he failed some, didn't he? But there's somebody that's better than Moses. There's somebody named Jesus that is completely faithful, and he will never disappoint you. He'll never disappoint you. Isn't that amazing? He'll never disappoint you. He's so faithful that faithfulness is part of his name. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19. We'll flip over to the New Testament for the remainder of our time. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. It says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." That's one of his names, faithfulness. He's called Faithful and True. Imagine someone so faithful that that's part of their name, faithful. Jesus is completely faithful. And if you need a role model on what, how you ought to be, how you ought to pattern your life after, look to Jesus. My Lord and Savior is completely faithful. He's faithful in that you can put your trust in Him and He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. 1 Peter 4:19 calls Him a faithful Creator. A faithful Creator. You can commit the keeping of your soul to Him. You can know that He will lead you correctly. Jesus is called the faithful witness because He only speaks the truth. Revelation 1:5. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth." He's the faithful witness. He only tells the truth, and He always tells what's needed. Everything He says is true and right. He's the faithful witness. Also, Jesus is faithful because He's faithful to call people to Himself when His name is preached. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. It says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." He calls people to himself. He calls people to himself. How does he call people to himself? Well, when his name is preached, when Jesus is lifted up, he draws people to himself. John 12:32, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." What does Jesus use to draw people to himself? Well, he uses preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Also, he's faithful to provide for his people. When you come to the Lord for salvation and you become one of his people, he is faithful to take care of you. He's faithful to take care of you. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." He shall establish you and keep you from evil. Also, he's faithful not to overload you with temptation. He knows where your breaking points are. And you know what he promised? He wouldn't overload you with temptation to the point that you have to give in. You never have to sin. Never have to sin. The Lord promised to always make a way out for you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Isn't that nice? The Lord always puts an emergency exit in temptation. We've all been tempted to sin and do the wrong thing. But did you know that you never have to do it? Never have to do it. God has always made a way out for those who love him and want to do right. He's faithful to keep us from being overloaded with temptation. Also, our Lord is faithful to forgive our sins when we mess up and yet come to him with repentant hearts to confess our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins," he is what?
Faithful.
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does it mean that he's faithful to forgive us our sins? Well, the best way to describe that is Peter's question to the Lord. Peter said, "Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother if he sin against me? Seven? How about seven times?" The Lord says, "He said 70 times seven." And the Lord showed Peter that to show that he needs to keep forgiving his brother when his brother asks for forgiveness. And don't you think our Lord, he forgives when we ask for forgiveness? Yes. And it says that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus is the pattern of faithfulness. That's part of his name. He's certainly faithful to us. He's forgiven me whenever I've asked him. He's kept me from sin and temptation. He's faithfully taken care of me, and I'm sure he's done the same for you. Are you faithful to him? Are you faithful to the Lord? That's the most important duty of a Christian, is to be faithful to the Lord. Let's turn to one more passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. That'll be our last place of Scripture to look tonight. The most important duty of a Christian is to be faithful to their Lord. It says in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Why did he say moreover? Does that mean it's important or not important? Very important. More than anything else. Moreover, it is required. It's not optional that you're faithful to the Lord. It's required. It's very important that you're faithful to the Lord. Are you always true to your Lord as a faithful wife is always true to her husband? Do you always have the Lord's best interest in mind? Are you always trying to further His kingdom? Are you always walking in the light of His presence? Are you faithful to obey His commands? Are you faithfully serving Him with your life? Are you faithful to church? Are you faithful to witness for Him? Are you faithful to pray? Are you faithful to read your Bible? Are you faithful to your Lord? It's very important to be faithful to Jesus. He is faithful to us. So, tonight we looked at the faithful man. And, you know, the good news is God can forgive us if we failed, if we've been unfaithful. He can fix us. He can help us to become faithful. How do you get to be known as a faithful person? Well, by developing patterns of doing the right thing. You develop a reputation. If you're honest all the time, if you start telling the truth from now to the rest of your life, then people might nickname you Honest Levi or Honest Luke or something like that. Wouldn't that be nice to be known as an honest person? A faithful person who's dependable and hardworking, who will not lie, will not goof off when they're not being watched, but will do the job that they're given to do. That would be the wise thing for you to do, is to become a faithful person. I can't make anybody be a faithful person. It's something you've got to see the need for and decide that you're going to do that. How do you think Abe Lincoln got the reputation for being honest? I don't know how honest he was. That's what people called him. But if he was really that honest, there must have been a time in his life where he determined in his heart that he was going to tell the truth and do that all the time. You can do that when it comes to faithfulness. You can decide right now in your heart, from now on, I'm going to be known as a faithful person, because that's the wise thing. And that's what God blesses, and that's what God requires of me as a Christian. And I'm going to, starting right now, I'm going to be known as a faithful person the rest of my life. I'm not going to be sneaking around getting into stuff when my parents aren't watching. When my parents give me a job to do, I'm going to make sure I do it and do it well. My job at the church, I'm going to start doing my very best for the Lord. I'm going to be a true Christian who's serving God on duty, off duty, day, night. I'm going to do right all the time. I'm going to be a faithful person. I hope I can encourage you tonight to be that faithful person that the Bible mentioned there in Proverbs chapter 26. I'll read the verse one last time, and then we'll have Brother Matthew come and lead us in prayer. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6. It says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. But a faithful man who can find.